This is Channel 2 Right and Mr. Eastman, After Supper, Wednesday, the 8th of December, 71. Mr. Eastman, come back to finish the hot water heater, After Supper, Wednesday, the 8th of December, 71.
American doctor, practiced medicine, and his father was the American consul over Shanghai, China. And they lived in the village. It was on a farm just right in the edge of the village, see? And this girl, of course, this girl from China, she didn't have any place to go, you know. So this girl down in the village brought her home with her to stay. Well, that was the first year. Well, then the next year, the boy was over here at a college, and so the girl brought him along home too, see? Well, then they was going to have one of their sons was coming home for the summer and bring some of his children. Well, then that made it so that they didn't have a bed for Charlie to stay in. So I was pretty good friends with the old fella, and he called up and wanted to know if I couldn't keep Charlie up there through the summer, and maybe I could get him to do something, you know, to help for one thing and another. Well, he was the darndest kid you ever see, you know. He was quite bright intellectually, and he helped me dig a hole for a septic tank, and we run into a lot of big rocks, you know, and he'd break off a chunk of rock, and then he'd have to set and examine it all over, see if he couldn't find some fossil in it somewhere, you know. But he was a pretty good kid in a way. But every night, you know, when you get ready for supper, of course, in the farms, you know, we called it supper, and dinner was at noon, and breakfast in the morning. Well, every night he'd get ready for supper, he'd got to go and change his clothes and come out all dolled up, see, he'd suffer. That was the way he was brought up, see, there in China, you know.
Yeah. You know, some of them people over there in China, they were brought up nice. People loved to live in China, you see. Yeah. I was in the army there.
Yeah.
And they had them big compounds, you see, with a wall all around.
Yeah.
And plenty of servants. I remember the first time I took a bath over there.
Yeah.
You see, the Chinese brought in there, they brought the water in by hand, you see, and poured it in there, you see. And when I got in the tub, they all stood around watching me. There's nothing private over in China, you know, it's all public.
Yeah.
They weren't prying, they just, they're just public.
Just trying to help you.
They just wanted to see what's going on. Mr. Bonnard, he's not the one who was hard to please down there. I mean, who didn't want you meddling with them when they were putting up that petition? That was somebody else, wasn't it?
Yeah. I forget now who the heck that was.
Now, this is new management.
Yeah. Old Barnard's a pretty good fellow, but geez, he's gone nuts over that guy, you know. It was going to kill him, because he'd got him out of jail. And I was talking with a deputy sheriff down in Ocala, and he said Barnard's made a damn fool out of himself. He goes and gets that fella out of jail down there, and rescinds the charges against him, gets his driver's license back, and takes him all back, and gonna love him in there. Well, now, Jesus, if he gets drunk again and kills Barnard, then what they gonna do? If a fella tried to kill me once, I wouldn't be getting him back in my own home again, would you? I guess not either.
Well,
I jumped Mrs. Barnard about it, and, well, she said, it's all Claude. She said, it's his doings. It ain't none of mine. She said, I'm afraid of him. Well, there you are.
Mr. Eastman, I don't, you know, I haven't been down there. They smoke so much in those restaurants. It sort of dries me out.
Yeah.
You know, you try to eat breakfast down there, and you can't taste the eggs with the all the people smoking cigarettes. Well, anyhow, Ms. Barnett, is she one of those, there's two or three big women down there.
Yeah, well, she's quite plump.
Yeah. But she's knows the business?
Yeah, she's pretty good at it, isn't she?
Does she stay out front?
Yeah, some of the time. Some of the time she's in the kitchen. And I had a hell of a time over there yesterday. That meat slicing machine went to heck, you know, and I didn't know how to get into it. To put a new belt on, and I had to take the thing half of pieces in order to get a new belt on, see? Well, now that I found out how to get into it, I could put a new belt in there in half of the time.
Yeah.
But when they come to get it all tore to pieces, it was so full of grease and it looked like old motor oil and burnt belts on there, you know, all that old burnt rubber and stuff in there. It was a darn good thing that I did get it all apart to clean that all up.
All your appliances work?
Huh?
You see, all we got's these old Moat coffee pots.
Yeah.
And they something gets wrong with them. I found a man, or they found him, up there in Gainesville. He's at the dime store.
Yeah.
Name's Reedy. And he got several people who stay upstairs and they work on these appliances. And you see, he put a heating element in it and the warmer.
Yeah.
And he charged $6 for that pot there. Well, you can buy a pot less.
Oh, you know, $20.
That's right. Well, that'll last from now on. It ain't a while. Nothing except what he fixed.
Well, if it goes bad again, take it back up and you'll have to put the same things back in it again. That's all it wears out, is the heating elements.
Well, now, do you do your...
I do some of that, but I haven't got no elements where he'd have them right there, don't you see? He's doing
it'd be it. More trouble for you to do it.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have the...
I wouldn't have it, no. I'd have to go and find some somewhere.
And that'd be tedious, wouldn't it? Yeah. Because more than likely, they all take a different kind.
Oh, yes.
Well, golly, that coffee pot didn't cost me about $12 10 years ago.
Yeah.
23.
That coffee pot?
We got that in Kentucky. Yeah. We've been down here since 57.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Right there. Miss Eastman, let me tell you, this shower in there, the jigger down there, you push it in and pull it out. Well, it won't cut off. And you turn on the water down there, and that shower starts. And you push it in, and it just pushes itself back out.
The damn threads is wore on where you turn it.
You don't turn it, you just push it. You just hit it and push it out. Let me tell you, those, I'm going to start on those little sheds because I get tired of fooling with that. You see, if we got a real cold spell, I get up two or three times a night. The darn thing will quit dripping, you see.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that.
What made it so foggy out here tonight?
I don't know. Is it not foggy at your place?
I didn't strike no fog till I got up to Ruby's.
It rained here. I saw some puddles out here.
I got up to Ruby's and I run into the fog.
Yes.
Just before you got to Ruby's. And all of that flat down on that side, other side of the road from Ruby down in there, and over across the road, boy, you couldn't hardly see anything.
Yeah.
Well, then I got up to where they where you turn off on 441 to come this way, and it was just as clear as could be. Well, then I got over this way a little bit farther, and gee, there was some more fog.
Oh, really? Well, I thought it was just solid, you know, everywhere.
And just before I got up to that corner where the dirt road turns, it come down this way, you know, and
yeah,
goes on the other way there. Just before I got to that, it was so foggy you couldn't see the road hardly. And I thought, boy, I got to watch close now to find that corner. And I got almost to the corner and run right out of it, just as clear as could be.
Really?
And just before you got to that corner, you couldn't see none. It was just like midnight in there.
I'd like them little mountain fogs, you know, you run into them, heading them and out of them.
I've been down through the Adirondack Mountains up in New York State, and the clouds, you'd get right into the clouds, you know, up in there, and you could take and look right off and see the clouds, and it looked just like waves on the ocean.
Yeah.
They'd roll, you know, just like waves on the ocean.
Now these pilots see that all the time, because they don't fly through them, they get up and just watch them. You haven't seen any of this corrugated roofing tin?
Not lately.
I don't see it anywhere in the stores. I'd be tempted to buy a little bit if I could get a hold of it. Now, what was that you said? You were standing up on top of the building.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear you tell that.
We were putting a roof on a big barn, a big high barn. Oh boy, it was high.
Oh.
And built right into the side of a hill. And on the upper side up there, where they come up into the top and went in the same as you'd go into an ordinary barn, well, you was way in the top of the barn, seeing there were two stories below that. Well, then on the lower side down there, down where they kept the cows, they were two stories down or three.
Yeah.
See, and we was up, and then we had the roof was way up on top of that yet. Well, we was up there putting on the corrugated roofing down there the day that Lindbergh flew the Atlantic. And I says to Johnny Mitchell, the fellow that he and I was working together on that, I said, now if you want to learn to fly, John, all you got to do is take a sheet of this and start right off. And it wasn't a half hour after that, and I was walking the ridge with the sheet, you know, like that. And geez, the wind caught it, you know, and it twisted right around, and I either had to let go of it or go with the sheet, one or the other. And I let go of it, and you know, that sheet sailed right straight off. And it went way down and crossed there and right into an apple tree. And Johnny says, well, that sheet ain't no good. No, I said, geez, I'll go get it and look at it. And he went down there and got it, and you couldn't see where it hit into the tree at all. It wasn't, didn't have a, you thought, you know, it'd be all jammed up.
Did you have the radio on?
Huh? No, it didn't have a radio on. No.
I thought you had radio on listening to the...
No, he had one down there in the car. We had the truck sitting down on the side down there, and they had the radio down there and turned up loud so that we could hear them telling about Lindbergh landing over there, see?
Yeah. Let me tell you, Miss Eason, you know, if you'd been on the other side of that,
I'd have went with it.
You could have.
Yeah.
You can't turn those damn things over. I got caught with them. I wasn't way up high like that, you know. And it just scares the fire out of me.
Yeah. Well, if I hadn't let go of that, I wouldn't be here.
You just lucky. Just lucky, weren't you? Yes, sir. And it just twisted it.
Yeah.
I tell you, that wind has really got some power. Once it gets
Well, you remember that Hurricane Hazel that went up through, clear up the East Coast? I had a set of farm buildings up there. The house, it didn't hurt much. But that barn, it was a big wooden barn. And you know, it scattered that for a couple miles. And another neighbor that was lived right there, maybe his building's about 1,000 feet from mine, and it took his barn just the same way, and his house was on beyond it, and the house didn't get hardly touched. It took that sort of a path right through there, see? And it took the big barn doors, see, there was 7 feet, because the barn floor was 14 foot wide, and they were 7 foot wide, 12 feet long. They took them goddamn things a half a mile away, and we found you'd find one here and one there and one somewhere else. I never did get it all picked up. And it had the roof had galvanized roofing on it. And my God, you know, there was pieces of that went a mile, I guess.
Well,
it went kind of corner ways, same as this here would be my farm, and it kind of went corner ways like this in here, see? And right down, same as down on that corner, a neighbor of mine had a big woodlot. And boy, them big trees, they just smashed them all to pieces.
Come in.
You, come in, sit down. Maybe. Mr. Henry, didn't you?
I saw him up here once.
Did you? Now let's get that plow straight. I tried to tell him what we were doing down there. See, he had them Morgans back up the country.
Yeah.
And he's interested in your horses here. And I was trying to tell him, and all I did was stick my fist in my mouth. I was trying to tell him what the plow was like.
It's just a hillside plow.
What make of a plow is it?
Vulcan.
Uh-huh.
Vulcan.
Walking plow, but these are the 750 different kinds of walking plows.
Vulcan. V-U-L-C-A-N. Vulcan.
Oh, Vulcan.
Vulcan.
That's a new one to me.
That's one of the oldest plow manufacturers in the world.
Yeah?
Sure is.
Now, it's all metal.
Right. Even the handles is metal.
The handles, huh?
Yes, sir.
I never plowed with one of those, but had wooden handles, huh?
Now, isn't there something special about that plow?
There is for the state of Florida, yes. You turn it over, it's reversible.
Oh, like a side hill plow.
That's right.
They can plow it one way with it there and then flop it over.
Flop it over and go back the same way you come.
Well, sir, I have never seen that done, Mr. Eastman.
I plowed with them like that. We had the Munsville Plow Company used to make them like that.
Yeah. But now, Cookie said up there they were plying. Or you said up there at your house they were plying up and down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds queer. And then the size of terrace plow.
My father-in-law, he used to plow it. Well, back and forth and try to turn the furrow up the hill. He said he'd rather have a furrow half turned up the hill than to turn them all down.
You know what you're talking about?
Yes, sir, I know what you're talking about.
He'd rather have it turned halfway up the hill.
Yeah. Because you see here, when you turn it up the hill, it'll break it up. And when you go flop it all down the hill, it'll go over and roll over, and sometimes it'll roll and beat all. And,
Well, now, can you do that with this plow?
With this plow here, it turns it all down the hill, see? It turns it up.
Yeah. Oh, you could just leave it one way, but to me, that's nonsense. To me, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
I'd plow turn it over and let it go down the hill. It's easier on your horses. It takes a lot of muscle power to pull that plow and throw it up the hill.
Oh, it does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It takes more muscle power.
Did you ever plow any any virgin land that never had been plowed before?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever have it go back with you?
Yes, sir.
You make a little miss somewhere, you know, and your furrow breaks in two, by Jesus, that thing will start right in, it'll flop right back, right where you plowed it out of. And if you ain't darn quick and get there to stop it, it'll go clear back to the end, too.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, in what? What sort of?
Land had never been, virgin land, never been plowed before.
Yeah.
Got a sod in there, don't you see?
Yeah.
And those roots are springy.
Yeah. Oh.
And if you
roots.
don't get it clear over,
yeah.
And it gets back away from you, boy, that thing will turn right back.
Yeah.
You know, back to home, we used to plow a lot of what we call new ground, where we just cleared the timber off of.
Yeah.
And
hitting the roots and stones.
You ain't just a joker. Goodness gracious.
Oh, God, I've been through that.
Mr. Eastman, you haven't owned any property or any barns or anything down here.
Just that little place where I am.
You sure got a shed. Did you stop and look at that shed?
No, I don't know where he lives.
Well, he lives right across from the treatment. Maybe two houses up, something like that.
You know, right across from the trade bin, there's a little trailer park in there.
Yeah?
Well, I live that first white house right there with the trailer park. There's just a trailer park between me and the 441.
Now, he's got a pool shed barn, but not like my pools. His is 8-inch pool.
8 inches on the top.
On the top. And he's got 2, 4, 6, 8. Eight of them?
That was 15.
You got one in the middle. How far on the ground did you put them?
Well, they're 4 feet and better.
Yeah. Now, how did you get them just the right height? You didn't wait till you get them up there and cut them off there.
We had a string set right straight around that was had it right level, see?
Yeah.
Well, then I took and measured up from that string up to where I wanted the plate to go on, see?
Yeah.
All right, I had my notch cut in up there, and then we took and measured each pole separate for that certain hole.
Yeah.
We dug that hole just so deep to correspond to that string.
Yeah.
All right, and then you come and set your poles in there, and you come right straight through with it.
You're pretty good at measuring.
There was one of them I got about a half an inch off, and I had to put a half inch piece in under it.
Well,
I think it kind of, I think my son-in-law was helping me there, and I think he got that hole a little bit too deep, see, and then he throwed some fresh dirt down in there, and he didn't wet it.
Yeah.
See, if he'd wetted it, it would have packed down in there, see, and then it wouldn't have went down.
And those plates are 2x12s?
No, they're 2x8s.
2x8s.
Double plate
double
on there.
Double plates, could you? Double plates, 2x8.
Hmm.
Yes.
I built a sort of a shed.
But he didn't use bolts.
No.
He just used old nails. You see, I'm a better carpenter than that.
30-penny nails. I built a sort of a shed over a house trailer, and then we went out supposed to have a 14-foot enclosed, screened-in porch. See out on the end of it? For that fellow from Georgia that raises plants down here, that tomato plants. And they had six niggers helping down there, see? Well, they got one pole that was down just a little bit, and I could see it. So we'd run a string across the plate on it, and it was down, about an inch and a half. So, we put a chain around that pole, and they took and put some 2x4s onto it then, and goddamn niggers, they raised that right up. They got it up, and then we put water to it and dirt, you know, and tamped it good, and by Jesus, that stayed.
Yeah. All you need was a little muscle power.
But you know, that's the way that they built those old pyramids and stuff over in the old country there, you know.
Yes.
It was all done with man labor, you know. They must have had a bunch of them onto some of them stones.
Yes, but it didn't hurt anybody. They'd make it so they could all take a hold. And
they were smart. It
didn't hurt anybody's back. You get your tractor? You get your tractor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Too much weather?
Well, I think I better go home.
And we got that. Yeah. I forgot about the job, see. I mean, at 4:30. I mean, I ain't worrying about that place up there no more.
Yeah.
I've been horse trading tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bought me a horse.
Is that right? Miss Ethan, let me tell you something. Let me show you that. I won't do it now. It's too late. I need just a little bit of help the next few days. You're going to be tied down.
Yeah. If I hadn't been tighter than the devil, I wouldn't have come up here tonight.
Have supper. Yeah. Wonder how long this is going on.
Yeah. Probably the first of the year, anyway.
Oh, really?
I got that washhouse that I'm working on down there for Ines Huff. See, and I got the sides on. Well, now I got to put the rafters on and the roofing.
Yeah.
Well, then up here in McIntosh, a fellow by the name of Watkins from Michigan. He's crowding me to beat all to get a porch built on his house.
Porch?
Yeah.
Well, that'll take half the winter.
Oh, no. We just take and get the cement bottom in there, you know, and I'll take and lay up three rows of blocks right around down there and put a plate onto that, you know, like a sill onto it there, and then put my post right on there and go right around and get our roof on, and then you got something to screen it right in.
Yeah.
So, take longer to pour your cement and let it sit, and we'll do the rest, won't we?
Yeah. Well, you can take it nowadays. You can pour the cement one day and lay your blocks on it the next and keep that on coming.
Can you? Well, now, you gotta keep Mr. Hargis. You don't do anything over the Hargis' old place now.
Frank Williams bought that, you know, he and his nephew.
Well, what happened to it? He do it all himself?
Well, Frank Williams does the same work as I do, only when he don't do no carpenter work. He does plumbing and electrical work.
Yeah. He was all balled up about something last time you reported on that. What is he doing? He was trying to get
septic tanks in there.
Yeah.
He was trying to make a Hargett estate put in septic tanks before they bought it, but I says, you can buy any. He says, you can't buy it. He says, you can't sell it without septic tanks in. I said, Frank, you can sell anything as is. Now, I don't care whether it's a place without septic tanks or whether it's somebody's old suit of clothes. I said, you can sell it as is, no matter what it is.
Now, is it two Frank Williams?
Not that I know of.
There's Frank Williams, who's electrician, plumber, whatever he is, and his daddy.
Well, his father's dead. His father died here a couple years ago. But there's Larry Williams down there, the well driller.
Larry Williams?
Yeah. He's the one that, he bought that old restaurant and motel up behind Monty there. Up behind the ranch motel, you know. Where all them damn Cubans are.
Cubans?
They're Cubans and Mexicans.
Yeah.
Cubans down here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of that, Stephen.
Yeah,
he next door
he had a bunch of them in there, huh?
Yeah.
You know about it?
I saw them.
Down here?
Yeah.
Well, what do they do down there? Just live there?
Well, they pick oranges and help on some of these ranches get in hay and different things.
Labor? $1.70 an hour?
Some of them women down there are short and fat and squatty and greasy. Oh, gee, they look dirty.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And they're at that motel. Right here,
Well, I got to go check on Laura. She had her teeth out this morning and had to pick her up and carry her home.
Well, you were good. Very good.
Well, the gal, I'm going home.
Well, I'll come down there and hire out to you, Mr. Eastman.
Haven't shot any alligators lately.
No, we can try. Turn on the light.
He's got the bill. He's got the bill, I think.
He got the bill?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's your point.
Mr. Eastman, you got the bill?
Got
her teeth pulled.
Yeah. In the hospital.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty big job all one day.
Yeah, no, about 10 or 12 pulled.
That's really.
Yeah, they call me at 11 o'clock to go pick her up and take her home. I picked her up. I left over at 11 and was back on the job by 12.
I wouldn't think they'd want her to go right home with all that.
And they did.
Well, I just didn't have appendicitis just to have all that.
Have a back one full?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he put her to sleep. Cut him out.
They had to take him out. They cut him out. You see, the tops was gone, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. They couldn't pull him. They wouldn't hold together long enough to pull him.
Yeah.
He had to go down there and cut him and just take him out with tweezers, more or less.
All her back, upper.
All her upper, her upper jaw teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting that bridge from their back and have these front ones going to try to save them, the front ones.
Well, she can't she?
Yeah, yeah, it'll cost some money, but that's all right, too.
One screwball can get the whole thing all screwed up. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, one rotten apple in the bushel will spoil the whole bushel.
And it don't take long to do it?
No, just overnight. You might say it's gone.
Faye started that with her great wisdom. She was going to give that boy a message so he could take it to his daddy. Now you see, his daddy is one of
them. It got really warm at noon yesterday and today.
Oh, man, alive.
Goodness, I like to burn up on that carcass today.
Get some extra on
there. Oh, yes, you owe him,
right,
you owe him for a trip or two up here, I say.
Right after lunch.
No.
All right.
Huh?
I told Faye she owed you for a trip or two up here already.
You made two trips.
No, that's all right.
Miss Eastman, is your wife a good cook?
Well, she wasn't. I wouldn't stay with her.
She likes to cook?
Eastman.
Well, you tell her to come up here and cook a little sometime. Yeah. Well, you don't spend much time at the table is the reason I asked that.
He said, I can't, not the way they're crowding me around.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like me. I ain't no use to sit there, not much to nibble on.
Yeah. I might get back home now and might even get in bed and then have the trade winds call and have something I gotta have done right off.
Yeah.
I get over there a lot of times at night.
Yeah.
Some of the lights are gone.
You ever eat over there?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
When you eat over there?
Oh, we generally eat there every Sunday.
Oh, really?
Just about. Because, I told Barnard, I said I thought that I was the only one that come in there and ate and got money back from my ticket.
Oh, that's the way you collect.
Well, let me tell you, if you got big enough ticket, we might come down there with you sometime.
Yeah. Jesus, the last two Sundays I had my daughter and her two kids besides my wife and I.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That tore a pretty big ticket up, didn't it?
Eh?
That tore a pretty big ticket up, didn't it?
Yeah.
You eat at noon over there, Miss Eastman?
Huh?
Eat at noon?
Yeah. Where's your daughter? She close by?
Huh?
Is your daughter close by?
She's staying over to Marie Olson's there.
Yeah.
One of Marie's cabins.
Oh, I see.
She was there with us, but my wife and my granddaughter didn't get along.
Yeah.
Grandson, he's a pretty good boy. How does anybody get along with him? But she's the granddaughter. She's always got a difference.
It's reversed at my house.
The fella says she got a mind of her own. She wants to show it.
And does.
Yeah. But you know that's nice if you can get away with it, ain't it?
Yeah.
You can get away with it.
You don't always get away with it, though.
Yeah.
I know one didn't get away with it last night.
I was over there all yesterday afternoon on that goddamn meat slicer. But I took it all apart.
Yeah.
And I took it all outdoor and washed it in gasoline.
Yeah.
But Jesus, to get the old grease and gum and stuff out of it there.
Yeah. Well,
I washed it all in gasoline, then I took it in and made one of the nigger dishwashers wash it. Hot wash.
Cookie, when we gonna plow again? What happened to that plow? I couldn't find it. I was gonna show it to Mr. Eastman.
It's out there in the street.
But damn, we looked all around, didn't we?
It's
he
out there.
Said it's out there in the shed.
No, I'm out here by the baler.
Oh, out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
When are we gonna plow some more? We're getting up here.
I'll see you.
Saturday?
Miss Eastman?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Faye,
don't
bother.
Hey, guys, she's holding hands with
me. Yeah.
Miss Eastman?
Faye?
Yeah.
Credit.
Why are you?
fell down over at your house?
Hit the ceiling last night.
God almighty. They've been hitting the ceiling here. You know, you just don't know half of it. You think this is a quiet place. You just don't see it.
I had the manhandle Frank last night, Guy. Didn't you think this was settling down?
Well, what happened to that sugar business? Wasn't that to hold him down?
No! No, I had that man handle him last night.
Say?
Yes, my fella. I had to grab him by the cuff of the neck and the seat of the britches by guards and set him down. He started to get up and then I knocked him down.
Who's that?
Frank.
Frank just can't.
He just won't listen.
He just can't hear right now, can he?
He better hear, because I ain't gonna mess with him.
Well, he gonna
keep on till he breaks me up, Guy Miles.
Yeah.
He's gonna keep right on till he breaks me slap up.
It won't be hard to do.
I can't stand no more. I took all I can stand. And it's just like I told him last night. I said, if it takes me leaving and signing everything this that there is here over to you fellas, that's exactly what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to have my life wrecked. And I mean it. I mean just that.
Yeah.
I mean just that.
Well, you see, Faye, now over here, we get in it too. It started Sunday afternoon. When Faye got that high and mighty idea, you see, that she could talk to that fella. Ain't nobody can talk to him. He never has got anything straight.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I talked to him Sunday morning until I pulled my hair.
Yeah.
I never did get nothing over to him until I got it out there with a pencil and a piece of paper, and after I'd done that, it didn't take 10 minutes after I talked all morning long, up to 2 solid hours.
Well, you can't survive that.
I made a simple statement to that boy. I said, Guy has a chance to sell the ranch at a very fine price.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to sell it or want to sell it, but the question is, how much can it be used, do you think, in... And you've seen him working. How much can it be? Does it mean to young students? That is important to us to know.
Yeah.
He's a young student, and that's all I said about selling.
But what she had in mind was that he'd pass that on to his daddy.
That's right.
And his daddy's one of the. He looks like nothing. He looks just like somebody. You just meet on the street. But he's one of the outstanding men in the whole Southeast.
All he had to do is just turn a little button to get things done.
All he's got to do is just turn a little button. And we're just trying to get to him. That's all of us to it. And everything gets upside down.
Well, now, I caught this. Now, you can take it from this. He's going to move out from home, Marcus.
I'll bet you he don't. He's too...
Well, let's see.
Okay. He told me, he said, the way I get it now, I'm not free to go and come as I want to.
Yeah.
He don't want to go and come. He wants to sit there on his daddy.
He said, well, no, that's not what he told me. He wants to get out on his own.
He
even so much as asked me to live in my trailer over
there.
Oh. He don't need to live in your trailer. He needs to get out there with some family. He's starved to death in your trailer. He needs to get, you see, he won't ask you. You get these. He works over there, and he don't know nothing that's going on.
He don't. He don't even have a girlfriend. And I have to prove something else to you, then you can take it and go. I know you will. He went so far as to ask me if I thought that Laura would go out with him.
God Almighty, all he's got to do is ask her.
That's what I told him.
She'd go with him or anybody who's decent.
And he's decent.
He is.
Oh, he is decent.
And that's the first thing popped in my mind. Then I had to brace it off because I cut him off too short.
But if I was Laura.
No, he's lonesome. He hasn't. He just hadn't. Yeah.
He's not grown up yet.
No, he's about 10 years old.
Just about.
And he hasn't been 10 years old. That's the trouble with him. And he may.
I don't know what you do. You see what the janitor said, buy a herd of cattle and then settle down. I don't believe I'd recommend that.
What
else I'll tell you. A fella can get all.
Well, I see he brought me the story entirely different.
He's been trying to get away from home. He thinks, you know, a room of his own would be a good idea.
It would. It'd be the only thing for the boy. Give him some self...
give his family some peace, too.
Yeah, it'd be nice for his family.
Get out and rough it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Sleep out under a tree for a few nights.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's right.
And listen to these owls hoot. And look out and see if when the cows get up and start there. They. Oh, yes, you got to report back in every night to see for that 5:30 dinner with a linen tablecloth. You. Happy day gone.
Well, now you see, that's what I caught so much hell about last night. I had my toolbox locked up, see. Alright. I go in late and Frankie been storming all evening at his mama. I had a load of wood to go pick up. I got a load on my truck now. I picked down with the lacrosse and bought me a horse tonight and maybe two pigs. Two shoats will weigh about 80 pounds a piece. Made the man an offer on the shoats and bought the horse. But last night I went and picked up this load of wood. I run by over here and check for my horse. I go and sell part of the wood, $5 worth of it, and take about that much home, and which was nothing wrong with it. I got home at about 7:00. Well, Helen had supper for Frank at 5:15. All right, he didn't go on home. He goes to these people that started Laura out on her bad rampage 2 years ago. See, he's getting right in the clip. And I told him, I said, Frank, I don't want my automobile over there. Definitely not. Well, he disobeyed me, see. There. I told him when he first arrived, I said, you can drive any place in town, but I said, there's three places. I don't want my automobile. I don't want to catch it on their property. Three places.
And he knows where they are.
I told him. Joe MacMeekin Standard Station, Hutchins Standard Station, and McBrayer's home. I don't want to see my car there. Okay, that was clear. Well, last night, Helen went in, and here come Alice. She said to tell me Frank was at McBrayer's. I just passed it off. I went on in the house. Why'd you lock my tools up? I said, your tools are quit. Them tools belong to me. He said, I want to work on my car. And he come in and thought he's going to take over, you know. I just grabbed him by the cuff of the neck and the seat of the britches. I didn't know I could do it. I didn't know I was man enough to do it. I picked him slap off of the floor and I carried him over to his chair and I set him down. He started to get up and I knocked him down. I said, man, you sit there, I want to talk to you. And then here come Laura and here come Helen, here come all the rest of the kids. I just set every one of them down. And I just laid there, I just told them which way the land lead. And if I go in tonight and they're raising sand, I ain't gonna do but one thing. Get my other pair of pants and turn around and walk off. I'm not gonna put up with it. I wasn't brought up that way. I was brought up to respect my parents.
You never had anything like that in your parents?
No, okay. Never did. Never did.
Of course, your parents never had to put up with Mike Breyer's filling station, either.
No. But now, I'm just not going to do it. This has been brewing for way over a year.
Oh, it's been building up.
Been building up. I've been holding back. But I can't make a living and stay home.
Copy, I hope. I was hoping to see old Leonard today, but I didn't run into him.
I saw Sharon yesterday and had a nice long talk with her. And they bugged me all afternoon yesterday. You see, because one of them college students comes up there and talks to me, well, they think they think I've got something going, you know.
Yeah.
And all they just bugged me to death.
Yeah.
I don't care.
They won't let you rest.
I don't care. I just pass it off as a joke.
Yeah. Well, what the college students ought to do, ought to go out and call all of them.
That's
and learn something.
Yeah.
But they won't do it.
I love Sharon. She's just nice to me. And her roommate. I don't know whether you've met her or not. Polly. But she's just nice. She just likes Sharon.
Oh.
Just as common as an old Israel. And, Polly, she ran up and bumped into me the other day. I was down in Briary Cafeteria getting a cup of coffee. I had Mr. Lake, Mr. Epperson, and Melvin. That's all big wheels.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all big wheels. She came over, and boy, she just scooted around and made herself known and set her tray down and sat right down and started eating inside.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't hardly take that to save their neck. I mean, this morning they could stump.
Yeah. You know it, get them.
And when we left, they asked me, Cookie, how in the hell do you have so much pool? I said, I don't know. What do you mean? I said, well, that's two or three times that we saw girls come in there and sit down beside you and eat their breakfast. Oh, I said, well, I guess I'm good looking and just let it go with that.
Yeah. And we'll tell you, whenever we start plowing again with the horses, don't forget, I'll telephone him. Now, he may be tied up, said he can't come.
Yeah.
But he's just foolish about horses, you see. And that's what he works for half his life, you see.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, I get old Everett over here next time I start flying too.
Yeah. I wasn't a whole bad last year. See, I worked with these kids and all, and I let the cows die.
Yeah.
And never made the hay. I worked with these blasted youngsters. Well, it's all right. But, you see, I picked up so much about what the youngsters can do that they're not doing. Well, they can make contact. They don't know how. And that's what I'm trying to do up there. And I'll tell you, I don't mind doing the work out here. But that, when you get into that skullduggery up there, oh, it's, you just don't know where you stand.
Well, by the time you put in 6 or 8 hours up there, while you're so brainwashed and so forth, you can't think when you do get out here.
That's right. Well, that's what's been going on off and on all fall, and you talk about pulling your hair. There's a lot of things that make you pull your hair. Yes.
Well, I tell you, I didn't see nobody here yesterday evening when I came in. I parked over at the truck and walked back up through there. And night before last, I came in, looked at the cows.
No telling what you'd find if you walked back up in there. Especially after dark.
It wasn't after dark.
There's an old dead tree. I'm telling you, there's nothing like an old dead tree to shed limbs and just keep the fence down. And then you can't get the fence out from under it. But you know, it's a funny thing. That thing has been down, I don't tell how long back there. You could just walk, sure it's going to. But the cows didn't pay attention to it. They didn't get there.
They're not going to get out as long as they got plenty to eat.
Yeah. They didn't pay a bit of attention to it. And there's right back there in what Frey calls the cow parlor.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
We got to get
bother with it. No trouble.
But now. I got to do something. I ain't gonna be aggravated at home now. I'm just not gonna be aggravated. I ain't gonna do it.
They seem awful good humor when they come down here on Sunday cooking. I don't see how to change quite so fast.
You ought to be a mouse in the wall.
Yeah?
That's all I've got to say.
But ain't it nice out here Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, when they all, if they want to be.
Yeah.
It's nice as long as Helen's over in the trailer asleep. But when she's around them, they'll just tore all those pieces. I turn them loose and let them go, because I don't care where all they go. I mean, if they want to go to the back pasture and get back there, sit down on the ground, that's all right with me.
Ain't nothing out here about
them. Ain't nothing out here taking hurt that I know of. And ain't nothing out here going to hurt them. Then I get their fingers caught on the barbed wire, but that can be patched up. They tear their britches on the barbed wire. Well, they got another pair of britches.
They take care of themselves pretty well.
So, I mean, if you notice, if you'll just take notice, when Helen's up here, how far away does them girls get from her?
Yeah.
Now, you just take notice next time. If there is next time.
Well, you send Helen over here, we'll take care of
her. Turn the kids loose, by gosh, and let them go. They need to get out and learn something on their own instead of someone standing over and talking to them and telling them what the such and such a thing is. I mean, that don't get it. That's the reason there's so many.
I don't tell you, those pictures that Leonard took, you see, he got a whole set of pictures of you doing everything, shoeing the horse and everything. Now, you got to get a hold of one of them, that set.
I haven't saw him. I mean, I wanted to get to see him. I looked for him Monday. I looked for him yesterday.
And I haven't seen him either.
I looked for him today, but I can't see him.
Well, today was his last exam, he said, and I told him to check in before he left. And he may just take off. But I'd love to see him. You see, those, maybe we can work something out later, but it'd be nice right now.
Sure, I said those pictures really come out good.
I think he's going to be here till Friday.
Yes, sir, I said they were leaving Friday evening.
Yeah. You see, that's a beautiful set. And, you see, you need to have one of them. Just keep the thing. Because that was his study.
That's right.
That was his study. And, that shoeing over there, that's work. It don't look like it. I don't know why it looks so simple, but I'm telling you, it gets you, fella.
I wasn't worth a nickel all day.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I absolutely wasn't worth a nickel all day long. It gets me in my back, and I can't help it.
Oh, it gets you. It gets you everywhere.
That's why, one reason I didn't put them back shoes on, because, you see, there's a back foot is so much harder to shoe than the front foot.
Yeah.
Because you've got to lay that foot right up there on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, your hip, right up there.
Ooh.
Yeah. You got to be tough and do it, haven't you?
Yes, my fella.
Yes. Ooh. See? Put a little soup on or something.
I've already eaten. I eat up at Atari's. His wife had supper ready, and she wouldn't even talk to me about that horse till I went in to eat.
Is that right?
She had fried chicken, green beans, and rice and gravy, and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
I went in and eat, and then I went turn right around and bought the horse for
$30. $30. Can he walk?
Yeah, good looking horse. Little, but a good looking horse. Jet black.
Yeah. Well, if you was 20 years old, he'd take you his place. 30. You know, Hubie was an aged horse when he came. And he did well, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He lived his life.
And that winter, you know, when he and
Nellie
were out there, oh, they did have a time. And both of them mended. I just thought he's good for another 10 years.
Well, he lived his time.
He lived more than his time. And he done all right for the last month. See? Put on the food.
I don't want nothing meat. I don't fix nothing wrong.
We have meat. We have that. And then buy it. That old heater broke down out there, hot water heater. That's what Miss Eastman left.
I tell you, could everybody gets put out sometimes.
Yeah.
Say, I've been put out for over a year.
Plastic elbows and things. They'll have a little. I won't throw them away.